the book of Joshua. We see Joshua, this is the book where he takes a leadership role, but Joshua was in Egypt. He was there. He saw the brick making. He saw the persecution, the oppression by the Egyptians against the Jews. He was there the night of Passover when the Spirit came by and passed over those homes only which had the token of blood on the doorposts, and then entered into those homes where there was no blood covering and took the life of the firstborn, not only of the families, but also of the stock. And Joshua was there. He witnessed that. He was there as they fled Egypt after the Passover meal that night, and they went into the darkness headed toward the desert. He was there at the Red Sea as Pharaoh's army approached from behind, and they couldn't go to the right or to the left, and only the water in front of them, and God brought the wind and backed up the water, and it stood as walls beside them as they went across on dry ground of the Red Sea. Joshua was there as they went into the desert and to Mount Sinai. He's familiar with what happened on that mountain. Why? Because he was there in the shadow of Moses. He had become the right-hand man of Moses. And he witnessed God's presence and God's glory, and he heard the thunderings, the voice of God, and he was there when they returned to the camp and saw the wickedness that had taken over the hearts of God's people. Joshua was there. He was there when they got hungry and God sent manna from heaven. He was there when they didn't want the manna and God sent quail. He was there when God sent water from a rock. Joshua was there all of those times. He was there when they fought against Amalek and Moab. He was there on that journey as they traveled those 40 years. Joshua and Caleb, if you recall, entered in for 40 days as spies at Kadesh Barnea. A month into their journey when they could have entered into the promised land and had everything that God had promised. And Joshua came back from that mission. And he and Caleb said, look, God gave it to us. It's ours and it's wonderful. But the other 10 spies said, there's no way we can take it. The people are too big. They're too strong. We're not able. And we won't go. And they went to even stone Moses over the whole conflict. You've brought us out here to die. But Joshua was there. I'm sure that Joshua kept a little memory of that in his heart as he wandered for 40 years unnecessarily. And Joshua was there on that journey when God blessed them, and when the people murmured, Joshua was there in Moses' shadow. Joshua was the type of guy that was willing to do whatever. Moses says, Joshua, go down there and fight against those people. And Joshua said, I'm going, no problem. It didn't matter how big or how small or how easy or how hard. Joshua was willing to serve. He was a great servant. But now something's happened, hasn't it? Verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, his minister, his servant, in Moses' shadow. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So Joshua, God is speaking to Joshua. Moses has died, and God chooses Joshua now to lead these people. That's scary. You see, Joshua was just a kid. He was only 80 years old. But Moses, when he died, was 120 years old. So there's a 40-year difference in Joshua's experience and Moses' experience. But remember, for those last 40 years, everything that Moses has experienced, Joshua has been right there. So you know, kids get upset about a school year. Well, what if it was a 40-year education instead of a 12 or 4-year education? Look, the people were now, think about Israel, they were experiencing change. Moses, who they looked to and counted on, and man, they just worshiped Moses. That's the reason God had to bury his body, if you recall. Moses went up on that mountain because God would not let Moses go into the promised land. And it says that Moses went up on the mountain and he looked and he observed the promised land. God gave him insight to all the promised land. But then the Bible says God buried him there. He didn't want them worshiping the body of Moses. If you go to Israel today, you can find sites, burial place for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Rachel. And you can find the coffin. There's a place where David, King David's coffin is there. All along beside the temple, there are tombs of the kings and of prophets. We can go and we can see those places. The problem is not that their graves are marked, but that sometimes people worship them. Moses was not a god. Moses was the servant of God. In fact, even though God buried Moses there, if we look further, we can see that the body of Moses was taken up from the grave and into heaven. And y'all know that, right? Y'all already knew that? In fact, Michael carrying that body, Satan wanted that body because Satan wanted to infiltrate the body of Moses and come back in his likeness. And so the body of Moses was taken to heaven. Y'all, some of you didn't know that. It's in there. I didn't make that stuff up. My imagination's not that good. And so he dared not. Anyway, I can't remember the verse. It's a New Testament verse. But there. So the body of Moses and who else? Elijah and who else? Enoch. Those are the only three physical earthly bodies that have been taken up into heaven. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. He was raptured. Elijah was taken up. And then Moses, though he died and was buried, God took his body and had it carried up into heaven. That's why Moses and Elijah, remember, were the ones that came back on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's a lot of information. Y'all ready to go home now, aren't you? Moses was not able to go in. The people of Israel were now on the edge of their destination. The people of Israel have been traveling for 40 years. In fact, who are the oldest people there? Now, we've got the Levitical tribe. They were not included in the curse from Kadesh Barnea. But Joshua and Caleb, now being 80 years old, are the oldest two that were there. Imagine there was nobody over the age of 60 in the whole congregation of Israel, except the Levites and Joshua and Caleb, because they had died in the wilderness. Everybody above the age of 20 from the time they parted from Kadesh Barnea. So now Joshua is in charge of leading them. All they know is what they've lived and what they've survived. And then there's this thing that they have hoped for. This thing that they have hoped for. They've been told about it. Those spies that went, those 10 men that saw it, dead. Joshua and Caleb are the only two that survived that mission. And the 40 years that followed. So they're going off of the promise of God and the reassurance of Joshua and Caleb. And they've traveled these 40 years. Many have been born. Many have died in those 40 years as they travel. But now they're at the edge of the Jordan River. And looking over across that river, they see this is the land that God promised us. But there's a problem. For 40 years, we've been following Moses. We know Joshua, but come on, he's not Moses. He's not who we had counted on. Now let's look at it from Joshua's perspective. Besides his inexperience of only being 80 years old, now all of the weight falls on Joshua. Remember when Moses was sitting in judgment and everybody that had a conflict would come to Moses? And he sat there from sun up to sundown, just answering questions, just deciding on legal matters and disagreements. And of course, his father-in-law came along and said, look, you got to stop this. Let's appoint circuit judges and such as that, magistrates. And so they did all that. So the burden's not quite as heavy now as it comes to Joshua. But here's the thing. When you're the top, when you're the leader, people expect you to have answers. People expect you to have solutions. People expect you to have plan. People expect you to have vision. People expect you to be available. Isn't all that true of a leader? I'm not just a leader, the leader. He's at the top of the pyramid. Everybody looks to him. His cell phone rings and beeps and buzzes all day long because he's the one at the top. And everybody counts on him to be ready to respond to their needs. And he had walked in Joshua's shadow. But this was different. Now the decision was his. Now the guidance was on him and the leadership on him. God says something in verse number 5. God says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God assures Joshua of his presence. Can I share with you this morning that I am happy to have God present with me? Not just in this room, but as we go, the presence of God goes with us. Why? Because when I prayed and said, God, I am a sinner, and I know Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for my sins, I put my faith in Christ. I trust Him as my Savior. And I ask your forgiveness of my sin. And God, I give my life to you. When I did that, they wrote my name in the book of life. The Holy Spirit of God, the divine presence of the Almighty, came to live in me. I don't mean exclusively in me, but in everyone that believes in Jesus Christ. And so we have the complete, constant presence of God in our lives. There is never a time when I am alone. God is always with me. If my thought is to temptation and wickedness, God is there. If my thought is to goodness and mission, God is there. When my mind is completely blank, and men, we do that, don't we? Turn it off. God is still there. God is always with me. And if you put your faith in Him, He is always with you. You see, we look at the Old Testament and there's something we need to know. They did not have the presence of the Holy Spirit as do we. You look at Samson, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so God would show up in those moments when Samson needed God. And we can see the anointing of King Saul and of King David and of King Solomon. And the Spirit of God came upon them in their anointing. In the Old Testament, the presence, the anointing, the Holy Ghost, the divine nature of God was present with prophets, priests, and kings. But not with the common man in common times. Well, you say, those prophets were common men. They were until the Holy Spirit got in them. Saul, as he returned from being anointed by Samuel, Samuel said, as you go, you will come to a place and God will give you a new heart and the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will prophesy as do the prophets. You remember that? And on his way home, what happened? Exactly what Samuel said would happen. So even though they had faith in God, they looked to God, they did not have the presence of the Spirit of God as we do in these times. And so here, for Joshua to have that promise of God's presence, it was significant. And I tell you today, if you want God's presence in your life, you must trust His Son Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then He could say to you, as He said to Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Have you ever told somebody to be strong or to have courage? When do we tell people that? When they're scared, when they're troubled, when they feel weak. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou very strong, strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look, he said, Joshua, do you want to succeed? Do you want to do well? Do you want to be a good leader? Do you want to lead them into success and victory? He said, then stay on the path. God created us. God designed us. You say, well, Pastor, I am the process of natural biology. Well, that's true. But God energized that biology to give you life. And you are alive, and God had a design and a purpose for your life. God had a plan for you. He told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And God knew you. You ever heard that song? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Remember with Jesus in his prayer, he said, Father, I pray not only for those who are here, but for those who will believe. Not just for these that are already believers, but those who will believe. And that's us. God says, if you want to succeed, you better stay on course. You better follow the instructions. You better stay with the Word. And he said, don't water it down and don't tighten it up. Y'all ever heard of somebody who tried to make it harder to get into heaven than just being born again? Yeah, well, you got to be baptized. Well, that doesn't say it in the Bible. Well, you got to join the church. It doesn't say it in the Bible. Well, you got to give money. It doesn't say that in the Bible. And there are even good Baptists that believe that you got to be ready for Jesus' return or you're going to get left behind. How many of you think that's true? There are people that believe that. I just don't believe that. Promise to take us into heaven in the rapture is something that he's going to judge the world. And he's particularly going to judge Israel. And he says, stick to it. If you want to prosper, stick to the Word. Not to the right hand, not to the left. You want to be successful in life. You want to fulfill your calling in life, your purpose in being created. Follow the Word. Don't go to the right hand. Don't go to the left hand. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hey, Pastor, I want to do better in life. Read your Bible. I want to know what God's will is for my life. Read your Bible. I mean, I can get up here and preach it, and we, you know, pretty much we go line by line. But we need to be reading the Bible. We need to be hearing from God through His Word. There's so much in there. Well, what does your church teach about such and such? Well, what does the Bible say about it? Because that's what we teach. Whatever the Bible says, that's what we believe. And so he says we need to know the Word. Look at what he says in verse 8. And it shall not depart out of your mouth. We need to know it and we need to speak it. We need to speak the Bible. How important is it to memorize Bible verses? You know, what really aggravates me is that we spend so much time from the time our children are born bringing them up and memorizing the Bible verses. And then we got these people come along and give a new version of the Bible. Ben was in school this week and he said, boy, it was a great thing. Somebody came to the school and wanted everybody to have a Bible. But he gave us NIV Bibles. And Ben's 11. He said, but here's the thing, Dad. He said, I know that man that gave us those Bibles is a King James man. Because when he quoted the Bible, he quoted King James Bible. You know why he quoted King James Bible? Because that's what he was brought up on. because that's what he was taught from a youth. But somewhere along the way, we've decided to water it down, change the words, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the most well-known Bible verse. Okay, besides judge not. That is the most well-known Bible verse in the whole thing. And then we come along and want to change the words? Have we lost our minds? We didn't lose ours, but somebody lost theirs. We need to know the word. We need to speak the word. And look at what it says. And you will prosper and have good success. Now, listen, this is not prosperity preaching. I never told anybody they were going to get rich. But I'll tell you this, you'll fulfill God's will in your life if you'll stay in his word. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? That's significant, isn't it? Anybody ever give you instructions and you're not real confident that they know what they're talking about? So if you'll just do this, it'll work. I'll tell you, there's stuff like that all over TV and the internet. If you just take this, it'll regrow your hair and your knees won't hurt anymore. Your back will feel fine and you'll get to sleep all night. Boy, you just buy all that stuff. The more you buy, the less you believe anybody, right? People give us instructions, but here's the thing, God says, Joshua, this instruction is not coming from just anybody. I commanded thee. It was me. Have not I commanded thee? Am I the one telling you this? Guys, when God tells us something, we can count on it. That's why I believe in his word. I grew up learning things by preachers. By the way, I love those preachers. I love them, and I appreciate them. But there were some things that they regurgitated that they were taught that those things weren't true. They weren't biblical. They weren't godly. I don't want to raise a bunch of religious people that just believe whatever I teach them. We need to be independently empowered, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and informed by his word. That's the kind of church. We're not here to be followers. We're here to become leaders because the world needs people who know this book and know God to lead them. And you've got friends and family, and if you don't show them the way of salvation, they're going to hell because nobody else is going to show them. It's up to us. Have not I commanded thee? It's God's will. It's God's perfect will. And he says this, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, what's it about? How does that apply to us? Change. Change. Maybe you're the Joshua. Maybe something's happened in your life and now you're having to step into that role. And it's scary because you didn't do it before. Now people are counting on you to do it. Now people are counting on you to make the decision. Now people are counting on you to know. So now you've stepped into a new role and not sure you can do it. If God's called you to that role, let me assure you, he would say to you, be strong and of good courage. Have not I commanded thee? Don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Stay in the word. Know the word that your way will prosper. Or maybe you're the one in the situation who's having to follow a leader who's come behind a Moses. And you say, well, I just don't know if this 80-year-old's got it cut out. He's just a whippersnapper compared to that 120-year-old Moses. Well, it may be. But what's God's call? And if God has put him to be the leader, then we follow God. God wants us to do his work in his way. And even if that's a different way than what we've known, we need to surrender and let God have control. and keep our faith in Him. Would you stand? Father, we love You. We're thankful to be in Your house and in Your Word this morning. And pray that You will take this message and apply it in our lives. Because there's so much going on in the world. There's so much change in the world. There's so much fear and anxiety. God, get our attention back to You. To just stay focused on You. To trust in You. To know our part. We don't have to fix the whole world. But we have to fulfill the calling that You've applied in our lives. So God, build us up, strengthen us. Give us the courage and the strength, the instruction. Put walls and perimeters about us where we will not go to the left or to the right, but we'll stay on course and not stray. That we could be faithful to the calling and faithful to the purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your opportunity to come. If you want to kneel at the altar, you want to pray where you are, reach God this morning. Speak to Him. God, I surrender to You. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. God, forgive my sins and save my soul. Make me capable to the challenges. Don't take away the challenges. But build me up to be ready for those challenges. And I will stay in Your Word. And Your words will be my words. And not depart from my heart, not depart from my mouth. That others will know they can find You in me. Is there anyone this morning? Amen. All right. You glad you came this morning? Glad you're here. Anything before we're dismissed? Church tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Fish fries at 5 o'clock Saturday. So come ready for some good gospel singing. And if you haven't signed up, there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. But come, bring friends, and let's have a great afternoon, okay? Anything before we're dismissed. Love you. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother, I'm going to ask Bill Sanders to dismiss us, please.